Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtzcast. Cole Pettum here as always, and we're going to do our very, very best to discuss Aston Villa 0, Everton 0. The journey to 50 points continues, I guess, one more point and we hit that mark. Personally, I think that's the mark that I'll be most happy with this season. And you know what, it can be hard to discuss a 0-0, especially when either team didn't really have too many great goal scoring opportunities. But from a Villa standpoint, there were a few proud moments and a few good discussion topics, I guess you could say, that we'll touch on here and try to make the best sense of. But anyways, I'll go first to Simon. Simon, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Yeah, it wasn't the most exciting of games, but I think it was a fair result. And, you know, given, you know, some of the performances at Villa Park in recent weeks, to be honest, I'm quite happy with that. I'll take it at this stage of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is what it is. No one's really playing for anything. If anything, I feel like this is the most comfortable Premier League season at this point in a long time. I can't remember the last time that basically the top, well, you could probably say the top five or almost relatively made up to some extent, and relegation's been basically a certain thing almost for the last month plus, ideally. So with that being said, though, Danny Raza has decided to miss out. Naughty Danny. Just kidding. He gave us like a week heads up, so I can't really complain that much. But we do have a debutante today, and that being Tom Nightingale, a Briton that is in Canada. It's nice to have someone in my time zone for once. I think that's a first in my tenure as Holtcast host. But without further ado, Tom, how's it going?
Yeah, going all right, thank you. Yeah, not too bad. I think Simon said it nicely, I think. But for me, it's just it's nice to have that solidity, that competitiveness every game, because it's something that's been missing for certainly the last few years in the Premier League, either side of the Championship stint. So, I mean, if the worst you can say is that it was a bit dull and you feel like having a nap afterwards, then it's not too bad, is it really?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to have fans complaining. We could probably win 7-2 again against Liverpool again, and there'll still be complaints for letting in two goals or a misplaced pass or whatever it is. That's just the thing with football, I guess, especially these days in social media and all those kind of keyboard warrior things. But that's a rant for another day with me and my personal experiences. But anyways, guys, where should we start first, I guess? Well, we'll start with Emi Martinez. Of course, he equals Brad Friedel's record in the Premier League of 15 clean sheets for Aston Villa, of course. Simon, I'll come to you first. About time, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it seemed like every week, as soon as the commentators would bring you up, you just thought, oh, Jesus, what have you done that for? You know, a goal's coming now. But, yeah, it's been a long time coming. And I'm really glad that he's got it as well, because he's been such a good signing. Like, for me, probably the best signing, certainly that I think we made last summer. And to be honest, I think you could argue that he was the best signing any club made in the Premier League last season. What, 16 million rising to 20? And he showed today with a couple of saves, especially that one from Calvert-Lewin towards the end. Like, just showed just what a quality keeper he is. And yeah, I'm really pleased that he's finally equaled it. And to be fair, with Crystal Palace coming up on Sunday, it's not a bad team to come up against to try and break that record and get it for yourself.
I feel like you've just jinxed that, to be honest.
I know, yeah.
Watch, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be the 89th minute. Benteke is going to score. It's going to be the ultimate karma thing. Jordan Ayew assist. Do they have any other Villa players that might have a secondary assist? I honestly can't think off the top of my head. But anyways, Tom, I guess the all-important question is Emi going to break that record this season?
I mean, you'd like to think that Sunday is going to be his best chance, really. Like, you mentioned Benteke. He sort of seems to have come into form at just the right time for Palace, wrong time for us. But, I mean, you'd like to hope Grealish back. Hopefully we get to see him from the start on Sunday, which means, I think, better ball retention in midfield. Hopefully we can sort of dominate from the off there. And I think that's got to be his best chance, hasn't it, really? But we'll see. I mean, like Simon said, it's just great to see him get it, see him equal that record. I certainly think I agree with Simon, really. I think if you're talking pound for pound, there can't be many better signings in the league this season. That the save from Calvert-Lewin at the end, the one in the one earlier as well at the near post, I forget who it was from. But that was great. His reflexes are unbelievable, really. And particularly as he hadn't had very much to do until then. And that's exactly what you need, isn't it, really, in a keeper?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a capable keeper in my time supporting Villa as much as Emi Martinez. Of course, that doesn't really give a great history when, most notably, probably the longest serving one is Brad Puzan, or Guzan, I should say, in some other areas and countries. But anyways, I shouldn't be too disrespectful to Brad Guzan, to be honest. He did have a good year or two, I guess you could say, but it all dipped down. But let's not go into these sad times. Let's get it into a few more positives. I guess the next thing we can go to is Jack Grealish, of course, came on later in the second half. It's just, Simon, it's just nice to see him back, isn't it? You know what? He could have came on for 2 seconds, and honestly, I probably would have been happy. It's just, it's crazy the fact that he comes on the, like, as soon as he comes on, there's three men on him. It's like watching, I don't know, like an 8-year-old trying to like dribble around like toddlers, and they're all just chasing him. It's just so welcome to see, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, there was a stage probably a couple of weeks ago where part of me thought, will we see him again this season? Because it just kept to go, you know, it seems to go on and on. But no, it's like, to be fair, as soon as he came on the pitch, I think one of the first sort of involvements that he had, he picked the ball up, he drew a couple of players to him and beat one of them and laid it off lovely for target for a cross in. And just straight away, you can just sort of see what we've been missing for the last few weeks. I mean, he's such a gifted footballer. I mean, certainly the best player in my, since I've had the season ticket since I think not 97, and he's without doubt the greatest player that I've seen play at Villa Park. He's just so good. And as I say, you could just see, even though he's only on the pitch, what, 25 minutes or so, he looks so comfortable on the ball. And I think the point Tom made earlier about, if you'd like to think, if he starts against Palace, we'll retain the ball an awful lot better than we did tonight. I thought in the first half we were quite decent, but there was a number of occasions, even that first half, especially in the second, some of the sloppy passes in that midfield area drive you insane watching it. So yeah, so that's always going to be a bonus having Jack back in the team, because you like to think that that's not going to happen so much with him on the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the one thing I enjoyed most, I think was one of his first efforts on the ball, was that target overlap, and I'm just thinking, yes, it's back. and long may that continue. But Tom, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, I think the one thing for me personally was just seeing him kind of go in and get tackled and knowing, you know what, it's okay. And maybe it's a little bit of a stinger, but he gets back up. So what are your thoughts on his return?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of hairy moments where he goes down and you're thinking, oh, not the shins again. Come on. But I mean, it's, you both have mentioned it, that the overlap with target, like, I mean, we're having to pick these little moments, aren't we? Because there's not been that much to shout about. But when he came on and that overlap with target, we love to see it. They link up so well. But it's just it's the way he holds on to the ball, and the timing of the pass is better than even that sets him above anybody else on our team, I think, really. Because you look at somebody like Bertrand Traore, likes to bring the ball down, likes to go at players, likes to spread the play when he needs to, but you're never quite sure if he's going to pick the pass right, if he's going to time the pass right. Whereas Grealish, you know what he does. He sucks the defender in, you know, pulls the space for whoever's on the overlap and then lays it off. And it's just, it's the little touches like that, I think, that we've missed. And like, it goes back to the point, I think, like ball retention, because you're not wrong at all, Simon. Like, I thought we were all right first half with it. And then second half, Luiz giving the ball away, McGinn giving the ball away, just all over the place.
Well, let's talk about the midfield, I guess, because maybe that's one negative we can finally go to. It's, honestly, I probably thought McGinn was by far the best player on the pitch today. That's my opinion. I just thought he drove play pretty well. There's obviously going to be a few hiccups here and there, but as is any player. But I don't know, guys. I still feel like we just get bypassed in the midfield way too easily. And even when we negate those chances, and Simon, I'll come to you with this. It's just, it's almost like there's that invisible line that some of these guys just won't bypass. And I think that's the one thing that I get most frustrated with Barkley of late, amongst a million other things, is it's just, he's not in those key areas where you would say an attacking midfielder such as him should be in. And you know what? I don't want to kind of put him as a scapegoat, because that applies to all three of them essentially in certain circumstances. But what do you make of it?
Well, like I say, I actually thought the first half, I thought we were very comfortable in that first half and sort of in control of the game without creating anything. It was almost like the performance at Goodison Park the other week, but just without the like actual chances created. Like in terms of, I thought our midfield sort of controlled it quite nicely. And then I expected Everton to improve, because I thought they were pretty poor in that first half. But I don't really understand what happened to the midfield, because you'd have thought that they'd have had a bit of confidence from that first half. Okay, then, as I said, I hadn't created much, but they'd, you know, we had the majority of possession. They knocked it around nicely enough. But it was just, it wasn't the fact that like they were giving it away with, you know, trying to make clever balls forward and just not getting the right. Like just some of the passes that were going straight to Everton players, and really sort of baffling to watch it. I kind of, you ask what to make of it, I almost can't really explain it, because it seems so unexplainable how that 15-minute break just seemed to, I don't really know how to verbalise it, because I don't really understand what happens. Like, I don't get it sometimes. I mean, I don't know what you think, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead, actually. The only thing I was going to add to that, maybe that Tom can touch on too, is, I guess, well, barring Ross Barkley, we kind of know his future, unless they just give it to us for free, essentially, at this point. Even at that point, I don't know if I'd want to take him. But I'm expecting McGinn to be there, and you would say the same for Louise, but do we still need that defensive midfielder in your mind as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for me. I think I do like McGinn and Louise, but I like them as a sort of relatively flat central two, I think. Because the issue with me is that Louise gets asked to do a lot of defensive work, and I'm just not sure. He's not physical enough for me. I want a bruiser in there, you know, defensive midfield, somebody who is there just to break the player. I've liked Louise most when he seems to have had a little bit more license to go forward and start creating some stuff from deep. I think that for me, I'm sure we'll over the next few weeks on this pod, I'm sure we'll be talking about transfer targets and that sort of thing, so I won't get into it too much. But I think a midfield enforcer, I think, is pretty key. I agree. I think McGinn, I agree with you, Cole. I think McGinn was our best player today, personally. McGinn or Target. I like Target every week, I have to say. His consistency this season has been amazing. I thought McGinn did a really good job breaking the ball up. The way he sticks his backside out and keeps on running in every situation. I don't know how he gets out of these situations sometimes. But we just sort of fell apart a little bit in midfield in the second half. I was, you know, you'd like to think it wouldn't have a big effect. The only thing I can think, Simon, talking about the halftime break, is we had that sort of stoppage, didn't we, just before the break with Cash. So I don't know if that upset the flow a little bit, but you'd like to think that wouldn't have that kind of effect, really. But yeah, and then I thought Everton, I was expecting Everton to push on a bit more. I have to say, I haven't really been particularly impressed by Everton. We've played them, twice in the last 11 days, and considering they really are pushing for a European place, I was expecting to see a bit more from them, really.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, if I go to the table right now, which I'm thankfully have open, I mean, Everton they're still in a shout. They're only 2 points off, but you'd think, actually, who do they play here? I'll have a quick look, because, of course, this isn't an Everton podcast, but nonetheless, they still have Sheffield United, Wolves, and then Man City on the final day. I mean, the Sheffield United one might be probably the easiest, of course, to kind of point out, but it's going to be tough for them. And then you look at us, and I just can't get over the fact that we're battling for 10th, basically. Arsenal are now 6 points ahead of us, but we're battling for 10th with Leeds, which still is mental in my mind, even though they've conceded and scored 53 goals apiece. That's a whole nother talking point that we don't need to get into, but fair play to them. But Simon, I'll come back to you. I mean, where does the rest of the season kind of go in your mind? Do you think it's all in for Palace, and then with two tough last games, it's a bonus for whatever happens?
Yeah, well, I suppose 10th is probably realistically now the highest we can finish. I think Arsenal, annoyingly, look like they're going to finish ahead of us, which, I mean, being above them all season, I'm not overly keen, happy with that. But I think, to be fair, you never know, though. I mean, I say Palace, normally at this stage of the season, they tend to just completely switch off once, you know, they're safe. So that's a game that, obviously, you know, you'd like to think we could get 3 points from. And to be fair, I don't think Tottenham is as difficult as you might initially think it would be. I think they might not have anything to play for. When you look at the game we played against them a few weeks ago now, they didn't look that impressive there. And, you know, we'll have Jack Grealish probably fully fit, you'd like, you know, touch wood, for that game. So I think, obviously, the Chelsea game, you sort of look at that as a bit of a bonus if you get anything out of them. But then even then, you know, if they've already got their top four spot secured, they've got a Champions League final the week after that. So it might be the sort of half-decent time to play them. Plus, there'll be 10,000 fans back in the stadium. So, yeah, there's obviously nothing to play for in terms of, like, qualifying for Europe or anything. But you want to try and finish in that top 10. I think that would... I mean, whatever happens, you know, if we finish 11th, well, I think we probably will end up, or even if we fall down to 12th, it's still been massive progress from last season. But if you can get that top 10 finish, like that just, it looks like a much better sign of progress, if you get what I mean. So mm-hmm. I think they'll definitely be all out to try and make sure they get a top half finish.
Yeah, massively. And I think the one thing, and this is just so stupid, but anyways, just the fact that finishing in the top half means when they do reflections, it gives you the first top 10 and we're in there and they don't have to go down. For some reason, it hurts my heart a little bit now every time they have to go down there. But we're still there, but that's just something that's so minuscule, it really doesn't matter. But Tom, I'll come to you. I mean, I guess we can talk about Palace now. Well, I'll do the three-word reviews. We'll do our man of the matches here right after Tom gives his answer. But going into this game, are you expecting anything different? Obviously, we'll probably see Ollie Watkins. Grealish may start as well. Who knows there? Are you expecting anything different?
Yeah, I mean, I do think. First up, I was pretty impressed with Keenan Davis today. I do quite like him as a player. I have to say, I like the way his hold-up play, I think, is pretty good. We saw a nice example, similar to his assist a few weeks ago when he powers past defenders and gets the ball across. He was doing that, you know, in that last minute, won that free kick, which, if things gone slightly differently, we would have been an absolute smash and grab, I think, to get a win from that. But he just looked like a player who is pretty rusty, hasn't had much game time. He hadn't started since, I think, July in the league. So Watkins coming back. I mean, Watkins, for me, has got the X factor. As a striker, I think he's pretty much an all-round striker, and along with Martinez, those two signings in the summer, I think, have been a very, very big part of why we're here discussing the sort of minutiae of finishing 10th or finishing 12th, as opposed to sort of having to clench for the last few weeks. But I think with Watkins back changes us a lot. I think his ability to drift wide, and he does link up the play better than Davis does, even though Davis is, I think, pretty decent at it. Like we said, hopefully Grealish starts. I don't want to, you know, jump on the Barkley thing again, because I think as Villa fans, I think we're pretty much all in agreement about where we stand on this. But I really would hope that we won't see him starting on Sunday. I didn't think he was terrible today, but he doesn't add anything that, say, Jacob Ramsey doesn't bring. And then Ramsey, for me, brings more energy than Barkley does as well. So I would hope to see a little bit, you know, make a little bit of team rotation in that way. Watkins in, Grealish hopefully in, Barkley hopefully out. And I think we should have enough, really, to beat them, because Palace are probably going to be... I've lost track exactly of where they are on the table, but I assume they're probably on the beach.
Oh, 100%. And I watched their game against Southampton, and they started off very well, but just absolutely fell off a cliff. And I think they're just another team. I think they're in 13th. And actually, them and Southampton are basically battling for 13th right now, because Wolves is 4 points ahead of Palace and 5 points ahead of Southampton. So they're just kind of in that kind of vacation mode, I'd imagine, already. So it's a good opportunity to pick up points. But Simon, actually, I'll throw one more question in here. It's kind of a quick little funny one. Do you think we'll see Big West score before the end of the season? Because that's my dream. I tweeted out last night. I want this to happen.
I don't know, purely because I just don't know how much game time he's going to get. I mean, I think it was his press conference before this game. He was asked about Wesley, and I think he said that he won't start any game before the end of the season. That is just purely about when we can, trying to get him 10, 15 minutes here or there. So unless he gets a decent run out against Crystal Palace, I wouldn't fancy him to score against Spurs or Chelsea. But, I mean, you never know. Stranger things have happened. But, no, I think we should just be grateful that we got to see Keenan Davis score this season. I think asking for Wesley Gold has just been greedy.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm still hoping for an 85th minute winner from Wesley against Spurs, which knocks him out of any chance of getting any kind of European football. I think that'd be the ultimate, I wouldn't say karma, but just ultimate thing to happen this season. Have all our strikers all right, score. Yes, it would. I mean, the fact that Keenan Davis has scored is probably my happy point of the season. That's saying a lot, given how good this season has been. I don't know what it is about the guy. I was saying to Danny and Simon in our chat, like, I think he gave away the ball, and I still just go, aw, like, come on, Keenan. Like, you could do it. I don't know. He could literally do nothing wrong in my eyes. I don't know why. He's just, I wish I felt the same way that I do about him, about Ross Barkley, but I don't think anybody does, to be fair. But anyways, guys, let's do the three-word match summaries. I'm not too sure how many there are. I think there's over 60 the last time I checked. So thank you all for getting involved. And of course, you can tweet us at 7500 Holt in the future. And I haven't looked at any of these, so I'll try to read out the appropriate ones and not read out bad ones like I have had or done in the past and had to delete in the past. So let's not make more editing work for me this evening. That'd be very nice. But anyways, we'll start with A. Donovan saying, rather see Wesley. A little harsh. We'll do, let's see here, Techie Monkey, buy new midfield. Ash Skinner, Martinez, world class. Tom Jones, blunt, take point. Drew Walsh, one word flat. Lee Cook, champions of Kazoo. A lot of people have actually mentioned that, and I still love that.
I like that.
Yeah,
2-1 on aggregate, wasn't it?
Exactly. Actually, to be fair, our very own Sebastian Bacon that does our player ratings, and he did match coverage on the 7500 Holt Twitter. I don't know if he gifted or took it from somebody, but it was when Grealish was holding the cup at Wembley, and then said they put the big Kazoo logo or something over it. So yeah, that was pretty good to see. Read out a few more. Macavilla saying, didn't watch it. Fair enough, you didn't miss much. Scott Edwards saying, huffed and puffed. And G Davis saying, no more Ross. What a better way to end it than that. Actually, you know what? One more. Ian Lyons, deck chairs ready. And then he has little emojis for vacation. So, you know what? Everyone can go into the summer very happy that we're very comfortable and all that good stuff. But Tom, I'll come right back to you quickly. Who was your man of the match?
I think for me, like I said, the passing went a bit astray second half, but I think I'm still going to give it to McGinn personally. I really liked his energy today. Thought he broke up play well. He's looked back on it for me the last couple of weeks.
Fair enough. Simon, how about you?
I was half tempted to go for Target. That's what I usually do. I absolutely love that guy. But I think for the save, I think it's Ben Godfrey, the chance that you were on about earlier, Tom. For that save, and then the one from Calvert-Lewin right at the end, I'm going to give it Martinez for two top class saves to get that well-deserved clean sheet.
See, this is a tough one now because I feel like I have to go Matty Target after saying on the last pod that he always gets mentioned and didn't. So now he has to. You know what? It's kind of difficult in a game that didn't really have too much. I think you have to say fair play to Tyrone Mings, made some very crucial blocks. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that skews it away from me for him was I can't remember if it was Richarlison or Calvert-Lewin bearing down on goal where he just kind of told Konsa to run for it and he just kind of binned it off. I didn't really enjoy that too much, but I guess that's being picky. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Screw it. I'll go with Matty Target just to get his mention in there. I'm sure he listens to this actively and is very, very happy to hear that. I don't know. I don't know when the last time I've seen a left back, I should say, this good at Villa, to be honest. It's just, I think he's figured out how to do the simple things well, and he doesn't really need to overcomplicate his game. and it's just made him grow leaps and bounds. So
yeah,
long may it continue. But yeah, that's that. Do you guys have anything you want to mention? Because I'm trying to fill time now.
God.
I mean,
God.
I would just say that I think one thing, like, we need to keep perspective, right? I mean, this is an eternal struggle as the fan of, and not just Villa, it has to be said, any football club, I think. But, like, you know, two, three games left of this season. We had one thing I liked was we had, I think we had five academy graduates today in the match day 18. If you include, you know, including Grealish, Davis starting, Ramsey off the bench, and I mean, to be now as pretty established as a mid-table club, you've got these youth players coming through. We are building for the long term, and I think that's the thing that's getting overlooked at the moment. Is this is the first time in about 12 years, probably, that we've got, since about January, we've been able to plan for the summer, knowing which division we're going to be in, knowing that we're pretty stable. And I think that's going to go a long way, personally, this summer.
Massively.
Yeah, I'd massively agree with that. I think when you look in the space of, what, you know, from last season to this season, I'd say, you know, we've comfortably overtaken the likes of Palace, Newcastle, mm-hmm. Burnley, who, you know, have been established Premier League teams for a number of years now. It's almost people forget that this is only our second season, like, back in it. I know, obviously, we're in the Premier League for a long time before, but, you know, for the last sort of 3 or 4 years that we're in the league, we were awful. So you're almost looking at it. It's a completely new squad of players that have been put together over the last 2 years. And in that 2 years, you know, if we finished sort of 11th, you'd say there's at least sort of, you know, Wolves have had a bad season, but everyone else that would have been below us, we've comfortably overtaken them in the space of 1 year. So you're right, yeah, definitely there needs a bit of perspective, needs to be guided. I can see why, I do understand how people get frustrated when you look at how good the start of the season was.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, you know, it's only the second year back. And also, you've got to remember, we've been for about a third of the season now, one of the best players playing the game has been out of our team. Like, I know you can't rely on one player, but when you've got a player that good, he's not available for you. Like, I genuinely believe, had he been fit all season, I honestly think we'd still be in that sort of, we'd be around where West Ham and Spurs are at the moment. I genuinely believe that.
I think we'd be about seventh.
Oh, don't, guys, let's not make people cry listening to this. Yeah. On the what ifs.
But I don't say that as like a, I don't think that's a negative thing to think. I think that should show just how far the club has come. And, you know, if think what we can do this summer with the owners we've got, I think, you know, is expecting big investment again. So I think fans should be really pleased with how the season's gone and be excited for what's going to happen next year.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean
that's spot on.
Oh, sorry, go on, Tom.
No, I was just saying, I think that's spot on. That's exactly it.
Oh, fair enough. All I was going to say is that we've already seen quotes kind of coming out recently. I don't really know how true they are, but apparently Dean Smith was saying he's seen the targets that Villa already have in mind. They're basically ready to attack as soon as the window opened, which is, I mean, considering, I guess, aside from the last summer window, I guess you could say, even though it really wasn't much of a summer window, it's probably the most organized we've been in, I don't know how long, guys, in terms of transfers. And the fact that he's excited about it, I think that's the best thing. I mean, that gets me excited knowing it's not going to be like a Kieran Richardson kind of caliber of player or something like that, where it's just like, oh, well, he's a good like third string kind of option, basically, that ends up being a starter. But yeah, so you know what? Up and up. We have to be happy, but you know what, guys, we'll wrap it up there because we're running out of time on this session anyways. So of course, if you want to find Simon on Twitter, it's at Cy O'Regan. If you want to find Tom on Twitter, it's TD Nightingale, correct?
Yeah, that is right.
Good. I got it right on the first time and I just looked at my phone, so I kind of cheated there anyways. And of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. Tweet the team at 7500 to Holt. You can email the podcast holtcast@gmail.com. One day I'll forget this whole kind of rigmarole thing at the end. But anyways, guys, we'll leave it there. We'll see you after the Palace game. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.